They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I am Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner of the Connect Church, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and Randolph. And fellas, get your popcorn ready. Woo! Because we have a special guest coming up, one of the most entertaining guys to interview, one of the absolute greatest players in the history of the NFL, finally inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He should have gone in on the first ballot. It took three tries, but voters have agendas sometimes. Terrell Owens, the one and only T.O., will join us on this episode of Faith on the Field show, and we are going to address swagger and confidence, and when that crosses the line to arrogance and conceit. It is a tough topic. It really hits home for me because I was always on that arrogant side for so many years of my life, and I feel like there's a fine line you have to walk between being arrogant and having confidence and having a healthy swagger. Go ahead, Ryan. No one on the corner has swagger like us, swagger like us, swagger, swagger like us. No one on the corner has swagger like us, swagger like us, swagger, swagger like us. No one on the corner has swagger like us. And there's the title for our episode, Swagger Like Us, fellas. It's going to be Swagger Like Us. We're going to talk about that.
You're fired up. You're ready to go.
Come on.
You a T.I. fan? Little T.I.? He turned it off before Jay-Z was going to come on and talk about why he can't wear skinny jeans. That's probably one of my favorite lines ever. Why Jay-Z can't wear skinny jeans. Why he can't wear skinny jeans. But confidence, arrogance, it's a tough it's hard to walk that line sometimes, especially in sports, especially in competition. Confidence can often be misconstrued as the sin of pride, but you can be a confident person. You can be a confident individual. You can be confident in your abilities, yet be very humble. Pride, though, pride is having confidence in the wrong things. True confidence, I feel, comes from a solid foundation of knowing who you are in Christ. And that goes back to our recent episode on Where's Your Identity? If your identity is rooted in Christ, that can help you develop true confidence. Confidence is it's having security in who we are in Jesus. But arrogance, it's self-reliance because of what we have. It's self-reliance because of who we know or what we've accomplished. Whereas confidence is knowing that, as Philippians 4:13 says, we can do all things through Christ. Versus arrogance is trusting what we can do by ourselves, on our own, not through God. And confidence should be knowing that our past is forgiven by God and that we are in good standing with Him because of our faith. And then arrogance is confidence in our works, confidence in our own righteousness. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." Confidence is knowing that God is on our side, and because God is on our side, it does not matter who is against us. And then arrogance is a foolish security through our own resources and our own circumstances that we are safe. And Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say in response to these? If God is for us, who can be against us?" So confidence versus arrogance, there's a difficult line to walk, especially in sports, especially in entertainment, especially when you're in that spotlight. And I hope I try to outline my views on what confidence is, what arrogance is. If you disagree with any of those, hit me over the head with it right now. Speak up. But it's a tough thing. And I feel, and Doug, you could probably speak to this a little bit, I feel a lot of times I can be viewed as arrogant. Me personally, I have confidence in a lot of things. I have confidence in whatever. I'm just confident. I like to be a confident person, but I feel like sometimes people I got haters. I ain't gonna lie. I got a lot of haters. People hate me for whatever. There's a lot of people out there who hate me, and I feel like that could be partially because it could be misconstrued as arrogance. as opposed to confidence.
Yeah, I think that there's a confidence swag that some people may have, confidence in their abilities. But then it also comes down to, how do you treat people? How do you make them feel about themselves? Are you lowering somebody else's self-esteem in order to build your own up?
Right.
And so there's a perception that people will have at first impression. And I think that based on your resume, some people may be like, wow, he's not that good. Right. And so they'll try and break you down at that point. Maybe that's where the hate comes from.
Yeah.
They see you with your high hair and your waxed eyebrows and, you know, your tight shirts.
Plucked,
and they think,
pluck.
So, well, what? Yeah.
The one time the wax fell in my eyes.
Yeah.
And it pulled out a couple of my eyebrows.
Ooh.
And a couple of my eyelashes. A couple of my eyelashes,
man.
And the girl was waxing them. She was like devastated. And, oh my God, she thought she blinded me. I've never gone back. But I don't want to stop.
So, thank you for clarifying. That's very important to differentiate.
Plucking those, plucking is your friend.
Yeah, but how many times do we make our opinions on somebody based on their first appearance or their first impression of somebody? So, you know, there's a time period where, you know, you look at somebody and you look at a player and you're like, man, they are in a zone. They are confident. They're throwing the ball. They're hitting the ball. Mm-hmm. They're making cuts. They're making people miss. They're tackling with such confidence.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's a big difference between that and hitting a guy, standing over top of him, wagging a finger and, you know, making them feel bad and trying to elevate yourself. And I think fans can appreciate somebody that does their craft very, very well in a confident way.
Dalk is an example of that. He would hit somebody through him, but he would never stand over them and do what you're saying.
Right. I think if you go back a couple weeks ago when, you know, Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl, and even in the progression of him in the playoffs, we're texting back and forth, and we're like, man, he looks very confident right now. And I don't think anybody would ever say about Nick Foles is that he was an arrogant player.
No.
Right, I mean,
even
going into the huddle and saying, "Man, I love you guys. Like, let's go." Being an encouragement to everybody else.
We're gonna go in and score, right? I love you guys. I love you guys. Now let's go down there and score. That's confident.
That's confident.
He didn't turn around and say, "I'm taking us into the end zone."
Right.
You know, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. So there's an arrogance to that where you're making other people around you feel even better, making them play better. So I think, Rob, you are right in the fact that there is a differential, definition for both of those, and one could be perceived as very, very good, and I think you need it as an athlete, and the other one may be destructive, especially in the locker room and on a team.
Yeah, I mean, I think confidence never feels the need to talk about itself. Confidence is being sure in who you are so that you're able to give glory. Arrogance is being unsure in who you really are, so you need to receive the glory. And that's where you can actually see it a lot in the players. When someone comes off the field and talks about what they did, how good they were. Yeah, I showed them. They come across as they're secure, but what they're really saying is, I'm so insecure, I need you to tell me.
That's false confidence.
It's arrogance.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Bible talks about how Lucifer, he tried to receive the glory. He tried to take the glory from God, and that was the arrogance of him caused a fall. Pride cometh before a fall. So it's when we try to receive glory because we feel like we need it, that's arrogance.
So do you find that a lot of times arrogance is a cover for
insecurity? Oh, without a shout out. Yeah. I mean, arrogance is a symptom of insecurity, because what we're looking for from somebody is to tell us that we're worthy of the glory that we desire.
But because we're not confident in ourselves.
Because we're not really, that's what I'm saying. It's being
so
unsure in yourself that you actually position yourself for glory. So you talk about yourself so that you receive the glory, because it comes across as, you know what I did? Look what I did. Look what I did. Look what I did. But you and I as human beings were never designed to receive glory. We were only designed to give it. And so whenever we position ourselves to receive glory, we actually position ourselves for destruction and failure. And it's out of, so the very beginning, what's the very first sin? The very first sin is God, Satan saying to Eve, you're not enough the way that you are. So take something from God that is his alone. He says, take the glory. You deserve it. You'll be a better person. Look who you'll be. That's the arrogance of Eve, and rather than the confidence of God. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, being confident in this, that he who began the good work in me. It's not confidence in myself. It's confidence in who I have been created to be and who created me to be that way. Therefore, I know that good things are on my way.
The problem when you start to elevate yourself is that people are just ready for you to fall, too.
And oh,
when we talk about guys, don't get too high, is because when you get too high, then you start elevating yourself. And then you get too low, then it's embarrassing and people are ripping you at that point.
They want to see you fail then.
Exactly. And then sometimes that's hard to handle the criticism.
Absolutely.
Because you just built yourself up and now you got to try and rebuild yourself back up. But that's all you doing a lot of work.
Yes, it's the
that's
humble,
a lot of work.
It's the humble brag too, right? It's the humble brag. You know, when we're,
you've seen that. Yeah,
exactly. And when it's so sneaky, your soul is so sneaky, you know. Yeah. In all of us, there's a need, a broken need to be valued and glorified, a broken need to be told that we are valuable. And so when we are not continuing to lay ourselves down before Christ, you know, denying ourselves, picking up our cross daily, following after him, it's so easy to even slip into the humble brag. As pastors, we can do it all the time. We can do it all the time in the sense that, yeah, I know I was really there for the guys, or I really helped the guy. I know when I was leading study, when I was doing the, and it's, yeah, you're right. It is helping them a lot. They're really doing great, but it's because of what I did. It's a humble brag. And if we're not careful, all of us can do that in our families, in our jobs. I'm just using something from my own field.
72 guys gave their life to Christ at this weekend's.
Correct. It sounds like confidence,
right?
But when I'm so insecure that I need someone to give me glory, that I actually talk about my glory.
T.O. talks about that in the interview, in that he had self-esteem issues as a kid.
Absolutely.
And those self-esteem issues, when you have self-esteem, they can grow into the complete opposite as an adult. You start out with self-esteem issues, and then you go over the top. You go into becoming an arrogant person, but really, as you said earlier, it's insecurity.
Absolutely.
It's lack of confidence. It's false confidence.
Correct.
So you have to compensate for your insecurity by going the other way.
Kyle, do you think that men turn it into arrogance a lot more and struggle with that more than women do?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I think men always never want to present themselves as weak.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will present ourselves as being strong all the time. And because we are competitive by nature, every male is competitive by nature at some level. We don't want to be the second in the pack. We always want to be the first in the pack. So you get a group of guys talking about their stories. Oh man, I went to the doctor the other day. I had an impacted molar. They had to take it out at the dentist. Oh, I had three impacted molars, and they had to go through my nose. I mean, so and we joke about that, but that really is from that place that says, when I always have to one up someone's story, when I always have to actually be the person with the last comment at the table, when I have to feel like I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm opening the door to arrogance. And I'm not saying that obviously women can be that way as well, but I think there's something wired in a man because they don't want to lose.
So what do you think women struggle with most? What does that turn into? Fear, insecurity? You know, the insecurity, how does that personify itself?
In my experience, I think when girls and women don't feel like they are seen, it creates such a diversity of being willing to do whatever they think they need to do in order to be seen and valued. So, you know, you have, we know a story of a girl that turned into an exotic dancer, and she told the story about how she used to dance in front of her dad, put on a really pretty dress and dance in front of her dad, and her dad would never acknowledge her. All she wanted was daddy to say, you look beautiful. And so she stopped dancing in front of her dad and still danced in front of men because she still was trying to get daddy, someone to say, you look beautiful.
Wow.
That's
a powerful story.
Yeah, I mean, and Rob,
for
you
dads
know,
out there, that, man, I make sure I tell
right.
my girls 1,000 times a day,
how beautiful
I love
they look.
You, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're everything.
Yep.
But men, dads out there hearing that story, that should resonate. Like, take inventory of what you're doing.
The difference, I think,
take
Rob,
your eyes off the game,
will
right?
be men. Men will hear their dads saying, you're not going to be anything, you're not going to be anything, you're not going to be anything.
Yeah.
And they'll turn around and say, I'm going to prove that old guy wrong. And it's still arrogance. It comes across as confidence. I'm going to prove them wrong. Yeah, but who are you doing this for? What? You'll never get his approval right. anyway. So at the end of this, you're still doing it from the. You may be doing the right thing, totally from the wrong place.
You're trying to show someone up, and your motivation is your motivation in that kind of instance is trying to prove someone wrong rather than as we have been talking about before, and where if your identity is, you don't have to care right. about proving your dad wrong. You don't have to care about trying to show all the naysayers and all the critics. I put a couple things together about what a confident person, like a top five list, like a confident person doesn't care about that criticism. Maybe an arrogant person certainly cares about criticism, but a truly confident person doesn't care about criticism. A confident person isn't going to get discouraged or depressed when they fall down, when something doesn't go wrong, when they fail. Instead, they're going to get right back up and they're going to keep going because they understand that failure is going to lead to growth. A confident person isn't afraid to meet new people because a lot of times people are like, no, I'm good. I got my circle. And that's, I think, rooted a little bit in insecurity and arrogance because you're like, well, what if these people inside, you're this arrogant person, but inside you're like, oh, what if like this person doesn't like me? Yeah. What if they don't feel that we're compatible? Whatever it is. Confident person's not afraid to go out there, meet new people, try new things and see new places. And I fail in this. I fail in trying new things. I'm so set in my own, especially foods.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know, I'm like, no, I'm fine with no condiments, man. I'm fine. I don't need no.
At some point, we're going to
need condiments.
No ketchup, no mayo, no lettuce. I don't need
to barbecue.
Try.
Hot sauce.
Yeah, I don't need to try like crickets baked or fried or any of that stuff. So, but I don't know.
Well, don't go to extreme yet.
Let's go. Confident person likes to try new things and isn't afraid outside of my aversion to some foods and things like that. And five, a confident person takes calculated risks, not reckless risks, but calculated risks in order to achieve something that you really want to pursue, that you really want to achieve, that you really want to desire.
Yeah, you know, I know we're going to get into TO in a minute, Rob, and those things that you just said are brilliant. You know, I think the thing with TO that people may not know is that TO didn't know his dad. Growing up, he didn't know his dad.
Raised by his grandma.
Raised by his grandma. And what he finds out later on in life is that his dad's lived across the street from him his whole life with another family. He doesn't find that out until he starts to want to date the girl across the street, and he finds out it's his half-sister. And his dad still does not want to have anything to do with him.
Incredible story.
And so, you know, when I heard that story from him, it made me look at Terrell differently, with the brashness who he is and how he comes across. You know, I'm sure if you're from Philadelphia area or even nationally, everyone saw this. You know, him being sent home from Andy Reid sending him home from
I was there for the sit-ups on the lawn with Drew Rosenhaus.
And everyone's there. And
my favorite assignment ever. Let me tell you.
But I look at that, Rob, differently now. I look at that and saying, for me, he's the little girl dancing in front of his dad.
It's so true.
He's just doing it from a different, you know, he went from the platform of playing football up front in the front yard trying to say, Dad, I'm not valuable enough to have a catch with, to I'm going to be the best wide receiver on the planet still so that somebody will tell me I'm valuable. And when you can look, that's why you've heard me say this 1,000 times. We have to stop judging people from the cover of the book. Right. We have to read the story of someone's life.
And he put that out there, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, and good for him being willing to tell that story of how his life is.
And I spent the whole week because now you go out there, right, and you prove yourself. You prove yourself to the world. He shows that. He puts up all these great numbers. Yeah. Number two in receiving yards, number three in touchdowns, and yet the Hall of Fame committee denies him first ballot status, denies him on the second one, to the point where he comes down to Minneapolis for the most recent Hall of Fame induction, finally gets in. I spent that whole week trying to preach to guys who I knew were voters, like, how could you not let T.O. at this point, how do you not let T.O.? Okay, you made him pay his dues if you feel he needed to pay his dues. But also, I felt that so many voters, they were going by gossip.
They weren't
going by fact, and I covered the whole T.O. Donovan McNabb fiasco in Philadelphia, and I thought T.O. was one of the most misunderstood athletes I've ever covered. He had a really kind heart. He was a genuine person. He was a sincere kind of guy. And I really appreciated that out of T.O. So when we come back, we'll hear from T.O. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show presented by Eastern University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. Our theme today is swagger, swagger like us. I had an opportunity to chat with now Hall of Famer Terrell Owens, T.O., a couple days before he was selected for the Hall of Fame. He was in Minneapolis, and T.O. was there promoting a commercial for Febreze. It was a pretty funny commercial. I saw a couple clips of it. Did you see it during the game, the commercial for T.O. did for Febreze?
No.
It was the hashtag My Bleep Don't Stink. That was literally hashtag my bleep don't stink. He was giving out bottles of Febreze, right, with his face on them.
And that's funny.
I took
that's
a couple
funny.
Back to the media center, and I was like, you guys need this in every press box across
that's
the country.
Awesome. There
you go. We needed some of those Febreze. The interview with T.O. is presented to us by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. Call 215-854-6018 to make an appointment with Rick to take care of all your financial planning and needs. Here's T.O. T.O., I know your grandma raised you to have faith in the Lord. Tell me how that's helped you in your life overcome a lot of the adversities that you've had to deal with.
Well, I think, number one of the main reasons I'm here is obviously the Hall of Fame induction. And, you know, no matter what, you know, what people say about you, good, bad, or indifferent, you just got to, number one, you just got to believe in yourself. And when you have belief in the man above, you know, knowing that you're not perfect, you know, he wasn't perfect. And the people that walk this world, you know, this earth, they aren't perfect either. So when you start to pass judgment and you start to believe things about people that you don't know personally, then that's really kind of a reflection of yourself. And so with me, that's what I've always, you know, done is listen, and I learned, you know, a lot from her as far as how she lived her life and how she wanted me to live my life. And so even with, you know, we're here for the Super Bowl, even with what I pulled off in the Super Bowl, I exercised my faith in God and belief that I could do something that was impossible. And when you talk about medical doctors and scientists and all these people that assessed my injury that said that there was no way possible that I could do it, I knew in my heart of hearts, and I knew with the man's, you know, blessing for what he's done for my life, that I could do it, and that's what I did.
I always look at you as a guy who's misunderstood, but the Bible tells us to live life to try and aim to please the Lord, not try and aim please other people.
Right.
You have always been that kind of guy. You don't look to please other people. Right. You please yourself first and foremost, and how much of it is trying to please the Lord too?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we're all here on this earth, and we obviously want to represent him. And so even with me doing this this interview, anytime that you can, you know, be vocal about your blessings and how you accomplish accomplished so much. I mean, none of what I've accomplished would be possible without him. And so my success and everything that I've done, I didn't do it alone. He enabled me to have the ability and really for me to understand the abilities that I had and gave me that confidence. Because, you know, early on in my career when I was, an adolescent, when I was a teenager, I had self-esteem issues. And so I had to get out of that and understand that, you have to believe, number one, in yourself in order to progress and do anything in life. And so I'm very proud of how my grandmother raised me. No matter what, I'm not going to look at the Hall of Fame as a platform to really validate really kind of what I did throughout my career, because my stats aren't going to go anywhere. Whether I have a bust or not, or if I have a jacket or not, like I said, I think my body of work speaks for itself, and I think a lot of people are enraged by the decisions, even, the first and second year. So again, when you talk about my character or you question my character, how can you do that and not question the people that have been inducted with criminal records? And you think about what I've done. It doesn't even compare. It pales in comparison, because what you've done is not giving me my recognition because somebody said X, Y, Z. Again, like I said, I'm not perfect. But just because, you've talked to a few people on each team and somebody said, oh, well, they didn't like me or I did X, Y, Z, that shouldn't speak for the majority of the locker room. The narrative have been created and portrayed over the course of my career that I was divisive in the locker room. I wasn't a good person or a bad teammate. But there have been people that have stood, on a table for me and said, no, that's the wrong information. I was a good teammate. I was a great player, a good player, however you want to categorize it, but that's the narrative that they did. That's the narrative that they didn't go with.
And that was T.O., presented by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. Call 215-854-6018 to make an appointment with Rick to take care of all your financial needs. And I mentioned in the interview to T.O. how I felt he was misunderstood, and a lot of what had happened back in Philadelphia. Donovan McNabb really shared in the blame. I covered it. I was there. And that was kind of a point that I tried to emphasize to guys who I knew were voting for the Hall of Fame, is that, you're voting for T.O. based on gossip. You're voting for T.O. based on things that you hear that it might be one-sided. There are players that he, quarterbacks like Jeff Garcia, who came out and said, this guy's absolutely a Hall of Famer. I think that it's kind of embarrassing that it took three tries for T.O. to finally get into the Hall of Fame. But our topic today is swagger like us, because we're talking about swagger. And when does swagger cross the line and become arrogance? When does confidence cross the line and become arrogance? And I talked about at the top of the show how confidence can be misconstrued sometimes as a sin, as pride. But I feel that you can be confident and be very humble and still feel that you can, as long as you give the glory to God, you're not giving the glory to yourself. When you say that I accomplished all these things because I am so great at whatever it is I'm doing, as opposed to you see guys who, when they win a Super Bowl or when they win a World Series or whatever it is that they win, and they give God the glory because he gave them those blessings. He put them in that situation. He granted them that opportunity. We are nothing without the Lord. Where is our identity rooted? Is it rooted in our own success, or is it rooted in the foundation of the Lord? So there's a fine line. Wouldn't you agree that there's a fine line between crossing confidence into arrogance, because perception sometimes messes it up all the time. Sometimes people will perceive you as arrogant when you're really just confident, and they don't give you the time of day.
Yeah, there's a big difference between God judging our heart and man judging you based on their opinion of you,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, even if you say something, somebody may just not even care what you say. They're going to put you down. They're going to say what they want to say about you, and they're really not going to get to know you at that deeper level. Kyle, you told a story earlier in the show that I had never heard of before regarding T.O. and his father and everything that was going on as he was growing up. And you know what? That really does have value. That has meaning into who he is. And he even said in the interview, hey, I was really insecure.
Yes, correct. Yeah. I don't think that we can never control someone else's opinion of us. We can only control our response in any given
very true.
in any given action. So I think when we're trying to control someone's opinion, that's where we get into manipulation. That's where we can get into arrogance, pride, any of those things. So I think we always have to recognize we are responsible for our own action and our own action and reaction in any situation. You know, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Well, let me start with verse 12. It actually says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. They lack the understanding of who God is and who they are in God. But we will not boast beyond limits, but we will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us. I think we have to understand that when the guys stand up there after a World Series or a Super Bowl or a PGA Championship Masters, and they say, hey, I want to thank Jesus. I want to give the glory to God. They're not saying that God necessarily picked them to win that and they didn't like everybody else, because I think that's what we hear all the time. It's not arrogance. It's recognizing the assignment that God has given you. You know, when Gideon, I think we talked about this at one of our last episodes, when Gideon goes to battle, he's fighting a huge enemy, and he goes with 32,000 guys, and God says, nope, too many. Get rid of 22,000. He has 10,000, and Gideon starts to be unsure, and he goes, yeah, you still have too many, because if you would win this with that many people, you'd get the glory. I think when we begin to understand that God has an assignment for us, and that by living out that assignment, it's not really us. It's not for our glory. It's to fulfill the task, the glory of the one who called us and created that assignment for us.
I think that's how, when you go through a difficult time, to thank God in the good times and the bad times,
yep.
it's still the same. You know, you may be able to stand up on a stage after winning the Super Bowl or winning the World Series and say, God, thank you for this opportunity. But you know what? You don't necessarily get to see the guys that lost, that go back to the locker room, that maybe not on camera.
Thank you when you win.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. But you know what? The camera's not always on the guy that's in the locker room, too, right, for them to say, you know what? I just really thank God for allowing me to be here,
yes,
and having an attitude. We don't necessarily see that. That's not correct, glamorized, right? Yeah. So that may still be there, but we don't really see it. So we tend to think that, hey, you know, it's great when guys do that when they're really successful. But we don't always get to see it on the other end.
Correct.
True confidence is going to come from that solid foundation that we have, that we know who we are in Christ. We know who we are rooted in. We know where that foundation comes from. When we talk about works, right, when we talk about trying to gain right standing with the Lord, when we talk about the things that we've accomplished, when we say, but yeah, Lord, I'm going to get into heaven because I did this. I fed the homeless. I went on trips and did all kinds of things to help charity organizations. I sponsored children in Africa and all these places. Lord, look at all the good things that I've done, right? Look at all these things. There's no doubt I'm going to gain entry into your kingdom. Look at everything that I did. That's borders on arrogance, because you're putting all of your salvation into the works that you accomplished, the things that you did, rather than put it into, well, for it is by grace you have been saved and through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. So there's even in the noble act of doing good, even in the act of going out there and making a difference in your community, you could still do it and not be humble, and you could still do it from an arrogant standpoint because you feel that these are things you are checking off the list to get that good standing with the Lord when we already have it.
You said this in a couple episodes before, but even the disciples, after being with Jesus for his entire, days of, between 30 and 33 when he was going out and doing his mission, you know, they were still arguing who was greatest among them.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Because that's in us. See, I can relate to that because there's a part of me that always wants that, you know. So I think that's we're never going to come to this place, right, in our life where we are free from the need to receive glory, the need to be the one on the right and the left hand of Jesus. It's in the submission of that. What you just said is so powerful, because if we if we're trying to get glory in any other way, we're just going to keep missing it.
And Jesus just goes back. He goes, if you want to be great, then serve. Wash, you know, let me wash your feet. And he was asking, Jesus was asking to wash their feet. And they were like, no. And then they're like, who's the greatest? And they're like, wash all of me, right? It's like,
Correct.
And Jesus, like, I could just imagine him taking his hand and just slapping himself in the forehead, being like, oh my goodness, what's going on with these guys, right?
So, yeah, absolutely.
You know, as if the disciples who were with Jesus all that time still couldn't get it.
Yes, correct.
Right?
Yeah, then.
Think about how hard we need to work on a daily basis to remind ourselves not to fall into those traps.
Yeah, it's just surrender. I think, you know, for me, we try to help the church by giving them an example like this. You know, confidence comes, my son's confidence in my promise and his future comes from who he knows me to be.
Right.
And so if I say to my son, Jake, I'm going to get you a car when you turn, you know, when you turn 17, you can drive. I'm going to get you a car. And every day he comes into me and goes, oh, Dad, I cleaned my room today. Are you sure you're going to get me that car? Dad, I just want to let you know. I did my homework today. Hey, Dad, I want to let you know. He's missing something in me. He's missing something in me. So when we come back to always, Rob, what you were saying, always having to try to put something before our King that shows that we are entitled to the blessing. We are really not understanding who we are as his son and who he is as our dad. So Jake could be confident that he's going to get a car when he turns 17 because he knows who I am. Whether he does his homework or doesn't do his homework, whether he, you know, did the dishes or didn't do the dishes, you know, he did them 14 out of 15 times, but that 15th time he didn't do them, so he's not going to get the car. No, he knows who I am. And when we can find our confidence in who God is, that's why when Tio said, it's the thing that I will always push back on. In our world today, we constantly talk about self-esteem. I just need better self-esteem. I need better self-esteem. We cannot find that self-esteem because the question is this. How do you determine? Self-esteem means esteem or value to self.
Right.
How do you gain value to self and who's going to give that to you? So I started to believe in myself. Okay, so you're giving value to yourself? Hmm. Based off of what? I wonder if he was 4'4" and 98 pounds and couldn't catch a football.
Would he
if
have
he'd have the
in?
Self-esteem.
Ever.
So do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah, of course success can give you a sense of self-esteem, but it's still from the wrong place.
You said something that was real important there. Entitlement to the blessings.
Yeah.
If we ever feel that we are entitled to blessings from God, we're missing the point.
We constantly feel that way, bro.
Big time.
Come on. We constantly feel that way.
We're missing that point.
I agree.
You know, we're not entitled to blessings because we are all sinful human beings. All of us.
Yes.
We're very sinful human beings. I'm a sinful person sitting here right now thinking of, you know, sometimes you might be saying one thing and you're thinking, how did I do this differently? How did I do that wrong? We talk about, and I love that verse, is that says, if God is for us, who is against us? Well, if your confidence is knowing that God is on our side, then that's true confidence. But if you think that you're secure because you have money, you have fame, you have glory, no one can touch me, I'm secure, I don't care who's against me, that's arrogance. That's confidence versus arrogance right there, and it's because you have God.
But we're bred in this.
Right.
Like, let's be honest, in America, we are bred in an entitlement culture right now. I pay taxes, therefore I deserve. In the church culture, we hear it all the time. I mean, I serve in nursery. I showed up on Sunday. I gave into the offering. Therefore, there's an entitlement towards what pastor owes me, church owes me, what God owes me. And Rob, we're not doing that when things are good. We're doing that when things get hard. And then we turn around and say, yeah, but God, I did all these things for you.
Yeah.
Where are you for me? And that's why it gets back to that moment. Who do I know my daddy to be? Do I know that for Romans 8:28, that he's going to work all things out for me for good? Even if it doesn't feel good, look good, or smell good, I know he is good. I don't always understand everything he does. I don't, and I never will. But I do understand one thing, he's good.
You know, Rob, you gave your list before about what a confident person is. And number one was a confident person doesn't care about the criticism. I think you add to that also, a confident person doesn't care about the praise.
True. Yeah, correct.
You know, and sometimes
we did
that's
a whole show on that with
so
Ben
much.
Watson.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I think, you know, we can handle the criticism, and sometimes it's not even a matter of like I don't care about the criticism or I'm above the criticism. But if you cannot care about the praise, then that's a completely different.
If you shake
animal.
The praise off the same way you shake off criticism, that's true confidence. Because in a way, when you get, you know, you get praise sometimes. Sometimes I get praised for something, and I'll be like, yeah, but to me, that's the way it's done. Like, I don't want praise for that.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
That's the way, especially when we talked about this in Courage to Be Bold, when people praise me, you're so out there, you're so bold about your faith. I'm like, yeah, but that's the way it's meant to be. Like, I don't want praise for that. I don't want a compliment. I feel that's the way I should be. It's my duty. It's my responsibility. But if it's like an action,
it's
if it's for winning something.
It's your act of worship. I'm going to correct those words.
What is it?
My duty. Did you just hear me? It's my duty. Oh, come on. That's your opportunity.
It is an
it's
opportunity.
It's beautiful. It's an act of worship.
That's an awesome point. That's a great clarification.
Clarify that.
No, and the reason why.
Listeners,
we're just joking. We're like, we have this great conversation all the time, because what ends up happening is just what Rob said. That's my duty. It's my responsibility. Well, it is. But when it's out of duty, obligation robs passion every time. So, and obligation creates entitlement. So, again, I've done. Or this is what I should do. And it speaks to our soul that I'm better than. It creates this thing inside of me. So when I step back and say, no, what's valuable? Remember we were talking about last time. What's valuable? Football's the most valuable. I'm going to give it to God. What's valuable? My testimony is valuable. Not because it's my testimony. It's his testimony. It's who he is talking about.
He gave you that
right,
message.
Exactly. It glorifies his mercy, his grace. So that's what always frustrates me, I think, Rob, sometimes when we talk in church about testimony, and the guy and someone stands up and it's a 30-minute testimony and 29 and a half minutes is about how bad they used to be until they found Jesus, and then they found Jesus and here we are
and they stop,
and I'm thinking, no, 2 minutes are about who I used to be. The greatest testimony is my life after Jesus. The grace, the mercy, the goodness, the joy, the peace, the transformation, the daily struggle that leads to jubilation and transformation. So I think those are those things when we just have to always watch our soul. Our soul will always want to bring it back to obligation and duty so that it can say, I did, I did, I did. And our soul is tricky, man. It's just tricky. That's why we talk about all the time, spiritual pride.
Yeah.
We clean up arrogance, but spiritual pride is just arrogance. So when I look at somebody and say, I did this because this is what I'm supposed to do, and you're not doing this because you're and it's what you're supposed to do, it creates an us in them.
Do you fight that on the deal?
And when you say someone is not like, I did it because that's what I'm supposed to do, and you didn't do that. You don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, you have no idea.
You don't know.
Absolutely.
You don't know. Maybe they're not doing it in the form that you are. Like I always say, you don't need a platform. You don't need a microphone.
Right. Correct.
You don't need you don't need to be on stage.
Absolutely.
You
buddy.
Don't need to have any kind of following. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter at all what you do. As long as you do it in your own little,
you know, sometimes when you do have the stage, like Kyle, you're up there and you're preaching, and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, that was a great message that you gave."
Right? I used to have trouble receiving that
because, So talk about that.
I used to have trouble receiving that because it made me uncomfortable, and I didn't know how to respond. And there's so many stupid Christian cliches like, it was God. Well, no, if it was God, it would have been a lot better than what you did. You know what I mean? I mean that's the reality of it. So,
do you ever feel guilty about the fact that it's like my message? Or like, do you take ownership of it in that sense? Or do you always turn it back
to say
over?
Thank you. I literally have just learned to say thank you. Hey, I hope it's spoken to your heart. I hope it helps you take one more step towards Jesus. I needed to do that, but because what ends up happening is, again, it turns into false humility. No, man, it was all Jesus. I don't really feel that way. Because I really don't.
You spent a lot
Jesus
of time working on it, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, a lot of
no
yourself
doubt
into
the Holy
it.
Spirit helped to write it, and there's all that stuff. But no, I mean, you know, all that's true. I just think that I had trouble. I love to give compliments, but I have trouble receiving. I'm a generous person, so I love to give. I have trouble being on the other end of that. And my dad had to teach me that early on. Be a grateful giver and a grateful receiver. And because they should be coming from the same place. If you're giving because it's an act of worship for God, awesome. If you're receiving because it's someone else's act of worship for God, and then you're giving glory to God, awesome.
You know, I think sometimes when you're up on stage or you're doing something with a platform, people want to praise you and you're like, oh, I can't take the praise for this. Like, it is God. Like, I want to be humble in that.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we go about the mundane things that we do on a daily basis and we kind of maybe lose that focus. So somebody may give you a compliment and you'd be like, hey, thanks. You know, and you kind of take ownership of it. So if it's a big thing, we're reminded, oh, it's about God. But when we do the small things in life, sometimes it's like, yeah, I did that.
The greatest things I ever do are things no one ever sees. The greatest things I'll ever do for the kingdom are things no one ever sees. It's being the dad that I need to be at home with Jake. It's being the husband I need to be with Danielle. It's the being there when someone lost a loved one. It's being there in those quiet moments when someone's going through what they're going through. It's sitting with a homeless person in a restaurant, talking to them about their story. You know, it's true. I get the privilege of being on multiple stages with multiple crowds. And that is a privilege. It's fantastic. But the greatest thing I'll do for the kingdom is stuff that no one will ever see. And so if I'm receiving the praise, if I overweigh, remember we talked a little bit about the overreaction. If I overreact to the praise of the platform, I will value the platform over the things that are truly valuable in the kingdom. So I will put all my time and energy to get on platforms rather than putting all my time and energy into making sure that I steward the platform he's given me, mm-hmm. but actually pour time into kingdom.
It's kingdoms. Funny that people use social media as that platform, though, because they can either give themselves the platform of saying, hey, this is what I did. Look at me. So it's tough.
I think it's very important to note and always keep in mind, we don't change people. Jesus does. It's not us. We're not changing. We may be planting a seed. Then 13 other people may plant a seed at some other point. But Christians and church doesn't change people. Jesus changes people. And that's ultimately what it is. When we come back, we have a few more minutes to finish our conversation on T.O. and Swagger Like Us. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Rob Motti. Make a difference, be a blessing is the sign-off I use every time I finish a radio show. But it's not just a cute saying or a catchphrase. These are words I try to live by. It's who I am. It's the legacy I want to leave behind. That's why Remy and I have started Remy and Rob Be a Blessing Foundation. Our passion is helping underprivileged youth and trafficking victims. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal industry in the world after drug dealing, and stats say it's the fastest growing. It's not just happening in faraway places in third world countries. Arrests have been made right here in the Delaware Valley in recent months. The victims of these evil crimes need help restarting their lives and dealing with the trauma. There's also a shortage of shelters for survivors. If you'd like to help, check out BeABlessingFoundation.com and please consider making a tax-deductible donation. Thank you.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. Rob Motti, Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner, episode 45, Faith on a Field Show. And we are just rolling along to our one-year anniversary. Seven more to go. We will hit 52. We're going to have a big celebration, maybe some cake for Ryan. That's cupcake fantastic. Back there, a little party. If you've missed any of these episodes, if you haven't caught up to us, if you're just starting to follow us now, if you're out in Keokuk, Iowa, or anywhere else that any of us have come in contact with people in recent days, and you just heard about Faith on the Field Show, you didn't miss anything. You can go back. You can download every single episode on iTunes. You can check us out on faithonthefieldshow.com. You can catch up. You can pick topics. You can pick guests. You can look down the list and say, hey, I want to hear this episode with Clayton Kershaw, and you'll hear us talk about your a Hall of Famer too. You can look at it and say, hey, I want to see this episode with Dan Orlovsky, and we'll talk about rebounding from rejection, finding your worth with Matt Carpenter. So many different episodes, so many different guests that we've had. We're thankful for the opportunity, and we're thankful for everyone who is out there listening to us, sharing, liking. If you do get an opportunity to go on iTunes and check us out, feel free to give a review. If you feel that we need to improve in certain areas, if you feel that whatever it is, if you want to say, hey, guys, great job, or hey, guys, you're terrible, a review is a review, and we do appreciate that. We are talking today about swagger like us, having swagger. When does confidence turn into arrogance? And we've had Terrell Owens, T.O. T.O. is the guy who has always been out there, brash, confident, extremely confident in his abilities, is now a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest wide receivers in the history of the NFL. And sometimes people looked at him and said, well, he's arrogant. And we don't know their story. We don't know his story. Maybe you don't know what he started out from. And Pastor Kyle, you put that point out there that T.O. has talked about in the past, what his life was like as a grown-up. Growing up as a young kid, before he grew up, growing up being in his grandma's house, not knowing who his dad is, and he said in this interview he had self-esteem issues. And oftentimes it's those self-esteem issues that lead us to have arrogance later on in our life. And I had those problems. I had a lot of arrogance, I'd say, especially in my late 20s, early 30s. I'd go from 27 to about 33 was probably the most arrogant six-year period of my life. I felt entitled. I felt that I couldn't, no one could touch me, that I could do whatever I wanted to do, that I held myself to a higher standard. I was selfish, and it was a different lifestyle. It was I really did not do the things that I would overcompensate too, and treat people incredibly well. Treat them incredibly well because here I want to portray myself as the nicest guy in the world. And a lot of times the things I was doing was genuine. It was sincere. It was from the heart. I always loved to help young kids and homeless people and charity and things like that. And it wasn't out of wanting to earn my place in heaven. But at the same time, it was like there was two of me. There was the guy who was going out there, doing good things, helping people. One time, I felt like after we played Turkey Bowl on Thanksgiving, I didn't want to go hang out and have Thanksgiving dinner with my family. And my mom was not happy. She's like, you're not coming? I wanted to go. I went and made sandwiches, and I went in the city, and I was handing out sandwiches for Thanksgiving. But this is at the height of my arrogance.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is at the height of this guy being – so there was two sides. Sometimes it gets diluted a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you lose yourself in who you want to be, who you think you are, what you're entitled to, and it's a struggle. It's a constant struggle.
Did you feel like you were trying to do that to impress somebody, or – obviously you –
You the know, good things you meet, mean?
Meeting, yeah. Well, no, the arrogance thing. So I think you're still doing, your heart's still there for that.
Right.
And that was present beforehand. But then you found Christ and you kind of took away a little that.
Chipped at the arrogance. Like, it's not away. I would never say it's away. I would say it's a constant chip away.
Yes.
Chip away.
Good.
Chip away. And that started in 2010, started chipping away. But it'll still come out. It'll come out today. It'll come out tomorrow. It'll come out next week. And that's when I got to hit myself over the head and be like, chisel that out of here. You know, it's a constant struggle.
I think we all struggle with that in a lot of different ways. Trying to be the best dad we can be, the best employee we can be, just trying to be, you know, looked at by our friends as somebody that's valuable.
Yes.
You know, and where we find our value. We've talked about it in plenty of episodes of where we find our identity, where we find our worth. And, you know, and if we look for the praise from others and we don't find it from Christ, we're going to be left empty.
Yeah, I think, you know, I always want to encourage people that we should be striving forward. We should be striving and journeying towards the very best image of Christ that we can be. And so it's not finding complacency in who we are. It's actually the recognition of who we've been created to be and who Jesus is and where we are in light of that. I would just say I think sometimes arrogance is putting too much weight on our importance in the success of whatever venture it is. Because sometimes it's not even the after effect. It's if I don't. I mean, if I don't show up, if I'm not going to be there, oh my gosh, it's going to fall apart. I think that's one of the things that the crowd loved about the Eagles this year, that truly every time they would literally say next man up. And not just as a they recognized that that one person, their the weight of their life wasn't the success of the team wasn't dependent on the weight of that life. And I think sometimes we put ourselves, I know I'll say I do, even in publicly, privately, in our in church, in everything, there's times that I will say, yeah, but if I don't preach, if I don't, if I'm not, if I'm not doing this, if I'm not, if I'm not the person that's, and it's not that I, because I'll talk the language of, yeah, I know, I want everybody else to be a part of it, but if I'm not a part of it, it's not going to be quite as good as it would be if I was a part of it. And there's just over, and I'm just saying for myself, that that stuff goes in me all the time. So I have to continue to recognize that and say, wait a minute, I'm way overblowing my sense of importance on the success or failure of anything.
Let's take it one other quick direction, though. It's not wrong to try to want to be the best you can be.
No, correct.
Because trying to be the best that you can be by getting the seat at the table as the best person in that field, in that craft, allows you to have a voice. It gives you a platform.
Absolutely.
So we just need to be able to focus on where our identity is, where our worth is, what are we doing it for, but always giving it our best.
God says, the Bible says, in all things that you do, work at it with
if you're doing
all
it for
your
the Lord.
Heart,
yeah,
as
exactly.
if you're doing it for the Lord. And I think it's important to understand that when you fail, when you have a moment of you do whatever it is and you go, man, that's not honoring the Lord. That's not serving the Lord. You can't then go back and wallow in self-pity and be like, oh, I'm not worthy enough to go up there now and present. I'm not worthy enough to go up there. It happens to me all the time. Whenever I'm going to go speak somewhere, there's always a battle that week that something happens and I do
Without
something that makes me feel like I'm not worthy. And it's the enemy trying to tell you, you can't go up there. No, but you're not practicing what you preach. We all fail. We all got to step back, take a look at it, analyze the situation and go, hey, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect.
Yes.
Only, and we got to clarify that, only Christ was perfect.
Only Christ was perfect.
And is perfect.
You guys know what we're talking about.
It's
only Christ was perfect.
It's funny, I think, Rob, because arrogance judges others on their actions and ourselves on our intentions. Yeah, but that's what they did. But yeah, but that wasn't my intention. So when we look at somebody else, we think, oh my gosh, they've done this, so they're worse than us. Because even if we did that, it wouldn't be the intention of my heart. And that's where we always have to allow. Look, Jeremiah 17:13 says that the heart is deceitful above all things. So we can't even look at the intentions of our heart. We have to sit back and say, Holy Spirit, show me who I really am. Show me who I am not in, like, show me who Christ is. Show me how far I am away from that. Help me to take one more step today towards him and give him the glory in that step.
Transform me and renew me, man.
Absolutely.
Transform me and renew me on a daily basis. That is it for Swagger Like Us, one of my favorite episodes so far. I want to thank all our sponsors, Eastern University, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins Wood Flooring. Thank you to Pastor Scott, Bree, Dakota, Sal. Thank you to our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle. Thank you, Ryan Lennox, behind the glass, for Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.